very much mutual. God is out. I always pray. Those who are fortunate, I would say, they have been led to a master who has given them something to start with, maybe little or more. It means there is something in him. You are put on the right way. Then develop it. God is one who will come of himself, manifest of himself to you in some form in which he manifests. So, ye baatein aapko malum, aap ishq-majazi ka fark aur dusre ka malum ho gaya. Isse bacho aur usme lago. This is dead body. There's a reference in the, what you are reading, that is dead body we are carrying. How long will you carry the dead body with you? You see? So love of the physical body is the love with the dead body. This is colored according to the thoughts which are embedded in your rest of body. That's all. Tin baaton ko samjho bhai, jeevan mein dharan karo. Ye cheezein kitabon mein reference aati hai, di nahi hai. Di ja sakti hai. अगर ऐसी खुश किस्मती ऐसी किसी मिल गई चीज उसकी कदर करो कमाई करो तुम वही बन सकते हो जो वो बने. एवरी सेंट हैज इट्स पास्ट एंड एवरी सेंट इन फ्यूचर. यू आर पुट ऑन द वे वेयर यू विल बिकम एज गुड एज ए सेंट. यू सी ड्यू कोर्स ऑफ टाइम. ऑफ कोर्स टाइम फैक्टर इज नेसेसरी बट यू कैन नॉट बी अबव द मास्टर बट as good as he is, you see. Because if God is him, who can be more than God? That's the reason. So don't be led away by the outward propaganda and this and that thing. Look to the true state of affairs and just stick to it. People are misled by propaganda. They hear one thing, 10 times that becomes as true as good as true. And saints never make any counter propaganda. So never. Time does prove what is today. Wait for the time. Time proves it what is what. So those who have got the true understanding of the thing, they should stick to it. Those who come in contact, they may friendly way explain to him. That's all. If anybody thinks he loves you, you don't think of anybody else. That's the main thing. Because you spoil your own inner state of mind, you see. So put in time as much as you can with due love for God, for the God in him, and to all the world over, because we are all brothers and sisters in God, and God in them. So this is the most important part of our life. As a man, we should have some spiritual food, contact with spirituality. God is in us. The more we'll put trust there, on spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. That's all. तो परमार्थ निहायत जरूरी है. जिस्म की खुराक रोटी पानी, बुद्धि की खुराक पढ़ना लिखना विचारना, और आत्म की खुराक परमात्मा की जरूरत. द ब्रेड एंड वाटर इज द फूड फॉर द फिजिकल बॉडी. लर्निंग एटसेट्रा दिस इन दैट इज द फूड ऑफ द ब्रेन. इंटेलेक्ट एंड कॉन्टेक्ट विद गॉड इज द ब्रेड ऑफ लाइफ. हैव दैट गिव मोर इम्पोर्टेंस टू दैट. Other things follow of themselves. आपके भजन का क्या हाल है? How you find? I was just talking about the devotion to God and to the Master. You see, true worship lies in the fact that man must be true to the words of the Master, the God speaking through him. What he says is the Bible, is the Veda, is the Grantha, is the Quran. Take it as Bible truth, you see, and act on it. By simply paying obeisance outside, that won't help you. Unless you pay obeisance to the words of the commandments given by the Master, the God in him. Many people come to the satsang. What for? Only to have personal interest in that. Name and fame, I am the biggest worker in the satsang. Just having control, otherwise, well, people just look to my beck and call, like that. He wants to just supersede the master too. He said the master work is going on only through us, but for us. Such like attitude, these people go on so long as their interests are served, they will go on. When their interests are marred somehow or other, directly or indirectly, they will go against the master openly. Such instances have been always in the times of the master too. Even Judas was played against Christ. It was you crucified him. Even in all sessions, people come of different tastes. I am telling you, those who come with true hearts, really for devotion to God, they will have God. But if they come with some purpose in view, maybe name and fame, maybe some lucrative point of view, you see, maybe for some purpose here and there, well, such like people cannot derive the full benefit of coming to the mart. It is seen, those very people who were become the, I mean, commanders of the system. Those very people, when their interests are not served, they go against the master. People say, what is all that? He was the most devoted man. Well, he was not devoted to the master, he was devoted to his personal interests. Leave your homes for the sake of God. All through the way, don't think of anything else. When you reach the place, don't think of who has come or who has not come. Only you and between you and the master, there should be no one, nobody else. We strike friendships within the way and take it, tell them that, well, this is the way to love God. Well, look here, love God. Love does not mean sexual love. No, let me be very frank, you see. They begin to love physically. The result is they stand between the master and the man concerned. This is wrong. I have been very explaining these things openly. Nowhere you'll find like that. But still with that, this disease goes on. People, you must be true to your own self. The God is within you. The Master is within you. If you are true to Him, you have to fear none. But for the sake of interest, selfish motives, people come for name or fame or some other lucrative point of view. When those purposes are served, you are very devoted, I am the servant of servants and this and that. When that is little satisfied, then those very people proclaim openly, oh, such and such we have seen the one. So this is the point discussed here, you see. When you come to the master, heart is one. You can give heart to one, not to hundreds, you see. If you give to God, then love all God for the sake of God, all of you. Not for the, we love people and forget God, not for them. In that way, nobody will stand between you and the master. You will have full benefit, you derive full benefit of coming to the master. You follow me? This is the point discussed here. Simply read two lines and ponder over what is in there and put it in practice. You may be doing so many things in your brain, but you don't act even on one word of that. Then what to do? There's a story that five Pandavas, brothers, went to their guru. The first day lesson was, we speak the truth. Go and remember, please. They all left. The second day, the four brothers came up and the Yudhishthira did not come up. Third day, fourth day, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days passed. All were coming, but Yudhishthira did not turn up. Those four brothers told the Guru, look here, that is very simple. You said, speak the truth. We have remembered these very words the very moment you uttered it. But very strange how bad, I would say, such like a Yudhishthira. He had not been able to remember these few words, speak the truth. Then he came up after some days and said, Master, I have remembered. And he never spoke lie or true lie. Such like attitude will make you perfect. You know so many things, you don't put it into practice, even one of them, then what you put on? If you want to derive the full benefit of attaining, being at the feet of your master, or by joining any school of thought, if you don't obey the commandments of the master, how can you proceed further? Student comes, master gives you a lesson, and the student does not remember that lesson what is given, then he does not care to put in, how far can he proceed further? Master gives some lesson, he memorizes it, then again comes, master gives furthermore. He does not even remember the very first lesson, then how can he proceed? Then you come here like a business, like I tell you, very straight, only paying obeisance, telling only humility outer way, that won't help you, mind that. If you love me, Christ said, keep my commandments. If you love me, Christ said, keep my commandments. If you love me, that's all. So you people come here with all due deference. Why you waste your time? You come here for some higher purpose. Make the use of this, best use of this. Only for wishy-washy way you come here, pay a visit like a custom, when you change, you see? That won't give you anything. So this is what is explained here. In this book, you see, gems, I will say. These points have been discussed in detail. This has gone through me with the grace of my God Guru, you see. And every detail has been discussed here, with His grace. And those people who go into the depths of the thing, they know what is what. Start one thing from today. Well, speak the truth. Come after a month. I'll be glad. If you start one thing, all other things will fall. See? Don't harm anybody. In my thought, word and thought. If you remember it, then your mind will be clear. Have chastity. Thought, word and deed. Then radiation is your right. So, if you love God, and God is in every body, the temple of God resides in every heart. If you love God, you will naturally love all others in whom He resides. Then, whom you are going to deceive? Perhaps. We know mentally certain things. Our brain is full of libraries of these things, but not a single point is digested and put into life. That is why there is no change. You have been keeping diaries for how long? Most of you do not keep. Most of you, I think of praise in the West, I've got about 80% people keeping diaries. Here I think 5% won't keep diaries. You follow me? Keep diaries, be very, very hard taskmaster, watch your life, stick to it. I tell you, just digest one thing. Then put in daily time to your practices. 2.5 hours. How many there will put in daily? You sit, only then mind will tell you got very perfect way. You got something to start daily at the very initiation. Somebody asked Yogi and others, how long will it take to have light within it? At least 5 years penance will give you light. You got very first day. How fortunate you are. And with all that you don't keep up to it. You don't maintain it. Those are maintaining quite appreciable. I'm talking to all of you, those who don't care. I would rather have only one or two men coming here rather than 100 here. I tell you, don't obey. I love you. Why? With all your imperfections. And husband assured me, as Gandhi said, as husband loves his wife with all his drawbacks, infirmities, he said, I love Congress with all these shortcomings. I love you all with all your shortcomings. Why? Because you are sons of God. You see, God resides with you. I wish you come direct. You got the man body, make the best use of the man body you have got. Only for that reason. Sometimes you pay more attention to one, you say, oh, that attention is only to bring you up. And that is also according to the commandment of my master. You see, what interest I have got. If you don't come up to the standard, you are taught daily, then what is it? These things I put before you so many times. I tell you very plainly, if you don't live up to what you are told, you cannot progress. Initiation helps you, of course, in your love for the Master, love for the light within you, you live up to it. If not, you don't care, you keep, take the medicine and put it in the shelf and don't use it, then please, you will have to come back again. Of course, not below man body. But what is use of coming back? You have got the man body now. Why can't you make the best use of the thing you have got? Your soul touches the God into pervading, into a special power, all sins will be washed. You are not to return. And much of the time our earthly life has passed already. Where we stand? Please do live up to what you are here. You come here. You come here for your own purposes and don't live up to what you are told, that you are deceiving all others too. I tell you, you don't deceive him, but all others, oh, this man is going to satsang, his life is such and his life is such and such. Yeah? People point their fingers to you. Such a low man, why? What satsang teaches? You defame the satsang. You become the source of deception to others. Is it all this taught by the satsang here? Come to senses, please. This is all what I can say. आपके यहाँ नहीं आने का क्या फायदा? आप भी उस बात को नहीं फायदा था जो तुमको देखते जाते हो, तुम्हारे जीवन वैसे ही गंदा होकर से सत्संग या सब लोगों के धोखा बने संबंधी मिलकर माँ तो भाई साहब आते हो तो लिव अप टू व्हाट यू आर टोल्ड. Love for God, love for everybody, just take one by one and put it in your life, practice. And you'll change. Anybody who sees you, he run up here. They come with the only purpose of knowing God. They know that some be taught here. No agriculture, no engineering, no, I mean medicine, or nothing of this art. Only how to contact with God. That's only, that's a school for that purpose. It's a school of spirituality. And nothing else. तो जिस काम के लिए आते हो वो काम यहाँ तुम्हारे आने का मतलब क्या? प्रभु को पाओ, यही है कि और कुछ? अगर यही है तो उससे पूरा फायदा उठाओ. So this is what I tell you, you see, these are very golden gems you have got here. Think of them, make the part and parcel of your life. Up to you guys, some of them. You'll change. God is after such people who are really, truly want Him. Why you should run after God? God will run after you to find out where He can work to lead you. Baba Jaman Singh went out to find Baba Saman Singh in the Mani Hills from Bias. There are thousands and thousands of other people residing in Punjab. Why did you go there? You were just watching who is the fit man in the world. All must find out, you see, it is not only giving only what you say, your votes, you make some minister, make some president, no, not, it is a commission from God above, He is after the man, if you become man. Kabir told, you see, okay, my mind is so clear with love of God, you see, nothing else in there. As limpid as Ganges water is limpid, you see the very smallest sand, the particle of sand also you see from the water, so very limpid and clear. So my mind has become like that, he said, and God is running after me. Oh Kabir, wait, I am after you, you see. Why should we be running after God? God is out of mind, so where is the man? We are beast in men, I tell you. We are not men. Man is one who has love for God and love for all creation for the sake of God. All of us are beasts. That's all. We do acts of beasts and openly we personate like godly men. The beast in you should be got out. And God is after such like people. He is after finding out where. No need whether he is black or white or east or west. That makes no difference. All is creation, you see. It is a very important thing to discuss. Okay? What is given in this all scriptures, you see. This is digest. मैं आपके आने का मतलब आप समझे समझाओ नहीं समझो आप भी समझो नहीं तो अपना नुकसान करो और शायद इतनी डिप्रेशन क्यों जोरदार ना तो
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
क्यों करोगे रोग जब बाहर से चले जाते हैं तो पीछे क्या होता रोने पड़ते कई गुनिया बनती है कई गुरु बनते हैं कई मुसीबतें बनती हैं धारक को जगह नहीं रहती तो भाई उठाओ डायरी रखो डायरी
The conference is in lecture mode.
भजन करो जिस तक आ जाए ना बने तो फिर उसका इलाज ना करने का कह खाली डायरी रख लो तो भी मैंने कहा दुख डिस्टर्ब हो जाए वो भी रुकावट है माफ सुपर नेचुरल पर कंसंट्रेशन ब्रिंग्स यू यू कैन रीड एनी बॉडी माइंड एनीथिंग बियॉन्ड ऑल वॉल्स यू सी That's also a supernatural power which stands in the way. But unless you are dyed with the love of God, you see, caught in God, then you are nowhere. In Bhata Kong, just remember and act up to it. Not only remembrance, but act up. The more you act up to it, you will derive the full benefit of coming to the Master and also to have the man body. I was just talking about how this love is developed. Everybody wants we should have love for God. But God we have not seen, how can we develop love for God? Unless we see Him, we come in contact with Him, we enjoy His company. So for that we have to love some human pole at which God is manifest. For the God in Him. So how to develop love for Him? That's the point. That the human pole at which that power is working, God is manifest, we should develop those very qualifications or attributes what he has got. Suppose he is a good painter, he likes painting. Yes, you develop painting. So at the time of developing painting, you are remembering always him for whom you are doing all this thing, isn't it? Constant remembrance will come in. When you will be a good painter, naturally he will draw his attention because that qualification is in him. Suppose he is a good singer, he likes singing. He wants poetry, verse. Develop that thing within you. So poets are half saints, I tell you, you see. So when you develop that thing, naturally that when that will go to him, he will attend it. And when preparing for that, all the time you are thinking of him. Keep somebody in your mind so that you may react in his mind. When you remember somebody, suppose the disciple remembers his master, the God in him, and the master remembers whom? The disciple. Action, reaction goes on. So first thing is, we should develop those qualifications which are within the master, you see. For instance, I gave an example, man, master is very good handwriting he's got. Like some officer, some appointments are vacant, you see, and he asks for applications in writing. They come up, there are hundreds of applications, and there are appointments only few, 10, 20. go on, he will go on, whatever, any application which is in good hand, that he would take it out. Because that very qualification is in him already. So first thing, if you want to develop love for somebody, just develop those qualifications which are within him. Those attributes. Try to develop that though. In the very time you are developing, you see, you are remembering all the same him. You're acting both ways. At heart, you see, keep somebody in your body, you'll reside in the heart of whom you are remembering, you see. But, and then all the time you're developing that qualification or attribute, you're also remembering it outside, developing that thing that would attract him. So that is the first thing you require. There's no question whether you are in his presence or away. Develop that qualification. I gave you so many examples, you see. One I gave about Bulesha. Bulesha was a disciple of Sainaya. For some reason he was initiated, he was a Sayyid of high caste among the Mohammedans. So he was afraid of what the people would say. His man belongs to the high caste and gone to someone who is of the lower caste. So he sent some disciples of his to go to Bulesha and chanting, go and tell that Bulesha is their brother. When they reach there in the street in which Bulesha lived, you see, they call, where is Bulesha? He is our brother in faith. The people went to, your brothers have come. He was afraid of what people would say, he belongs to a high caste, why has he gone to one who is of the lower caste? No, they are not my brothers. They came away and said, told to the Anayat Shah that he says, we are not his brothers. Say, all right. We won't send water. You want water is sealed, you see. What is a disciple? Disciple, he gets attention, water of life from the master, only then he's all right. Otherwise, if that is stopped, so with little thought of the master, the very ground of the disciple is watered, you see. So that was stopped. Now the man who had that blessing before has been deprived of that. Then he could not help now. How can he approach the master? What phase he has got to go to the master? Tell him that I am not his disciple, you see. So he thought that his master was very fond of hearing poetry, verse, loving songs. Right? Now what did he do? He had no taste for that, but he had to dwell for that purpose. You see, he went to a dancy girl whose profession was like that. He remained with them for months and learned singing, you see. Served them free, day and night. When he dwelt that singing within him, then weekly, they went to just sing the songs to Anayat Shah. He told them, well, look here, you got your these womanish clothes, you give me. I'll wear that and go, and today I'll sing before that master. So even he had those clothes of a woman, you see, he began to sing. Well, he was singing from his heart, you see. Naturally, radiation comes and the master says, oh, he's Bulla. He stood up and go and embraced him. And the people usually, they see from their own smoky glasses, oh, look here, here's the master. Oh, he's gone down. His cat is out of the bag now. You see, they'll say the same thing. Then he said, Bulla, well, take off these clothes so that the people may know who you are. He said, no, I'm not. I'm who has just left you, you see. I've done a heinous crime to me, not to be called as your disciple. That's all. How he succeeded? On account of the attributes and qualifications what the master had. He was fond of hearing, you see, singing. So he developed that singing to please him. The one example I said. There are others too. Lord Rama. He was exiled for 14 years. One Shivri, you see, some girl in the wilderness, in the forlorn places, she heard of that the Lord Rama is coming here. He will come barefooted, then these thorns will prick his feet. So he always clearing the ways. What for? All the time, love is done not necessarily by seeing, but by hearing too. He heard the Lord is coming. He will be walking on earth barefooted. So he cleared the all ways with his brush, you see, so that the all thoughts will be cleared and they may not break the feet of the Lord Rama who will come. And also he wanted what she would offer him to eat. In the wilderness there was nothing, only berries, you see. She would just taste for the one berry here, which is sweet, she would keep in her pocket or in his lap. When he came here and this Lord Rama went where? There were great yogis there living, but Lord Rama never went to them first. He went to the Shivri, you see, who was all the time clearing the ways, this outer action, so that may help him, the thorns may not prick him, and all the things here. The only half-eaten berries, which he did only for the sake to know that what are sweet and what are not sweet, he ate them. So love knows no laws, you see. Then he went to the yogishas there. There was a pond over there in which there were insects, you see. And they asked Lord Rama to just wash his feet in the pond, their tank there, so that those may be cleared of those insects. He said, no, you are yogishas, you are great yogis. Better you wash your feet and put your wash water there in the tank. That will be clear. All the yogis should also wash their feet in the tank, but the tank was not cleared of insects. Then they said, no, Lord, your Lord Rama, you must wash your feet in the tank and the tank will be cleared. All right, try it. Feet were also washed in the tank and the tank was not clear. Then Lord Rama told him, look here, no, wash the feet of the Shivri whom you saw. You see, hate it. When they wash the feet of the Shivri, of there, the tank was clear.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Rudy Cascone. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. This is a master's talk, Thief of Your Life's Breath, from the June 1971 Satsang Desh. But first, a short invocation. Just doing meditation is master's work. The job and the family duties that you are performing are master's work too. Whatever you do or possess, body, mind, and wealth, all belong to Satguru. You are nothing. Think that. You are an instrument only. You should completely eliminate yourself. Meditation is most necessary, for by meditation will all things come of their own accord. There are those who steal time away from their meditation. The thieves of Bhajan will be daily afflicted with misery. And we have O Nanak, the world is unhappy. What is the cure for this dreadful plight? Only those are happy who are sustained by Nam. Man in the physical form flitters. How can he sing the Lord's praise? Great are the senses' torments. Passion and anger torture him daily. These are the words of Guru Amar Das. 100 men, if wise, will say the same thing. Pitiful is the condition of those whose mind restlessly roams among the 9 doors, 9 orifices of the human form. who are dragged around amid the vices of the worldly life. The poor soul sometimes falls in passion or diffuses itself in anger. To learn the accurate and most definite way to reach God, one must keep the company of an enlightened person. And in his company, one will be able to have true remembrance of the Lord. He can teach one how to hold this remembrance throughout every phase of life, working, walking, eating, sitting, etc. This fear of vice is insipid. Discard it, friend. Drink the nectar of Nam. Because of the senses, the whole world is drifting into vice of one form or another. If even a single sense is prominent, how damaging that can be. For instance, in moths, the sense of sight is so strong that they burn themselves to death through the attraction of light to the eye. In fish, freely swimming in the oceans and rivers, the sense of taste is so great that they allow themselves to be baited by various tidbits, are caught and lose their lives. The poor fish, with the hook stuck in their throats, gives up its freedom, and after much torment of thrashing about in an effort to escape its captor. Consider the black bee, whose sense of smell drags it from flower to flower, until it is swallowed up by that certain blossom which closes tight at the minutest touch. We have talked of sight and taste and smell. What of the remaining two senses, hearing and touch? The deer is an animal so fleet of foot that it is most difficult to catch. Even when jumping backwards, its stride can measure 30 or 40 feet. How do they catch this will-o'-the-wisp? Its weakness lies in the strong sense of hearing, and when a certain beat is sounded on the drum, the deer forgets everything and comes close enough to place its head on the drum. And so the rest of his life is spent in captivity, imprisoned by man. Now take the elephant, whose strength is so obviously impressive that a man may feel terrified just to look at him. But during the mating season, the elephant's desire for the touch of the female is so dominant that he loses all control and runs amok, even uprooting trees, huge trees, in his path. While he is in this state of passion, having lost all his better instincts, man can devise his capture. A huge pit is dug out and covered with branches and grass. A female elephant is tied nearby as an attraction, and as it rushes towards her, he falls into the intervening pit. After starving him for many days, he is weak enough to be bound and taken away into slavery for the rest of his life, which may amount to 100 years. These are sample conditions of creatures who are slave to only one sense. What about him in whom all five senses are dominating? It may be a simple matter to discuss these things, but think of the difficult task. It would appear impossible to gain control of these five senses. So it is only by the grace of a true master that one can be guided away from the dark edge of these powerful senses for a while. With indescribable strength, the mighty guru pulls the attention. Excuse me. And inside is the ever-existing Lord described as Nam. By repetition of the Nam, the light of millions of suns is apparent. There is light within, and the song of the Lord, that everlasting song, is playing. The Guru gives a connection with this. That is his greatness, the God in him. And when his precious gift is given, it must be increased. When the taste for it grows, the lesser tastes will fade away. In the Bhagavad, a Vedic scripture, it says, not with repetition or austerity, nor by rites, nor prayer, nor scripture, nor by giving alms, nor pilgrimage. There are countless other things mentioned, and finally it says, not even by control of the senses can the jiva realize me as quickly as in the company of a realized person. The company of the master is gained through great good fortune, and only in his company will the mind cease its perpetuation and be perfectly still for a while. Who is the master? He is born in the same way as other men, taking on the human form, and we can daily see him eating, drinking, working in the world. And yet, Sad and the Lord, there is no fraction of difference, O brother. These are the words of Guru Arjan. So where does mastership begin? He who transcends the nine doors and goes into the beyond in full control of his whole being, he can know what a master is. The nine doors, the two physical eyes, two nostrils, mouth, two ears, and the genital and excretory orifices, he who can withdraw his attention and go out through the tenth door at the back of the eyes is well on his way to becoming a realized soul. But where are we? Whoever has lived all his life at the sense level and whose religious practices are on the same level can hardly be expected to have knowledge of rising above all these things. He will definitely get rewarded for all his good actions, but he will come again and again into creation. And he considers he is the doer, as he considers he is the doer. These are the gold and iron chains described by Lord Krishna when speaking of good and bad actions. Salvation comes only through the holy Nam itself. In the Ramayana, it is likened to lighting a lamp in a hallway, whereupon the light will fall both inside and outside. This illustrates the effect of the repetition of Nam on one's inner life and outer life. To repeat Simran is the first step. The appearance to the devotee of the one whom the repetition is for is another matter. If you haven't loved the Guru completely, you are not really near Nam. The Lord within each one sees whatever his children are yearning to meet him and makes appropriate condition for them to come to the feet of one in whom he is manifest. It is a very rare privilege to meet the true Guru, and yet those who meet him do not love him completely. Without a show, they touch his feet and sing his praises, but rarely do they obey his wishes. All masters tell the devotees to do their Simran and Bhajan. Azor used to say, you people give one-tenth of your earnings, so you should also give one-tenth of your time. One-tenth of a day is 2.5 hours. Some sit merely for 5 minutes, some for a half hour, and maybe not at all, many not at all. Others sit when the occasion fits their mood. If the connection which is given at initiation is not increased, what happens? The attention remains outward and does not withdraw and invert. A person may sit hours on end, and others may think he is a devoted meditator, but inside he sees nothing. The face he shows to the world is white, but in the court of the Lord it is black. O brothers, awake. This is the time to understand what is what. The masters come, lift up their hands, and shout to the world, O brothers, do your meditation. For without it, you cannot be free. It is said, take the Guru's teachings, for without devotion, many clever ones have drowned. Learning and high degree are of no use in this sphere. There was once a very learned man who, upon approaching a river one day, asked the boatman to row him across. The boatman agreed, and while they were crossing the river, the learned man asked him, have you had any education? And the boatman replied that he had received no education at all. The learned man remarked, oh dear, you have wasted half of your life. Well, halfway across the river, the boat sprang a leak and began to sink. The boatman asked his companion, did you ever learn to swim? The man replied that he had never learned swimming. And the boatman remarked, all your reading and writing is wasted here, and swam to the shore. Now, I'm not suggesting that no one should study at all. Education is good in its place, but if the soul does not learn to leave the body at will and has not derived intoxication from being drenched in the color of Nam, no amount of speech or action will achieve success on the path, on the spiritual path. Remember this fact, for it is clear and simple. The masters all explain the truth in very simple terms. The master and truth say, make your meditation. Listen. Open your ears and listen. He who has made his meditation has made everything. He whose meditation is not made will enjoy no meaning in his life's achievements. There is great purpose behind this emphasis on the importance of meditation. If your daily life is not under control, try to bring it in control or give more time to the meditation, and you will be able to gain control quicker. He who becomes the conscious co-worker of the divine plan will find that his righteous life is made. Whatever he does will be performed righteously. He will not be able to act otherwise. The reason behind your failure is that you have not truly loved your master, but have merely made a show in various ways, physically or financially or by lip service. There is no one who has sacrificed his mind to the Guru. Without giving up the mind, there is no success. The mind was sold to the Satguru. This server's work was correct. Give the mind into his keeping. This physical form is the master's. This wealth is the master's. This mind has been given too. Those who can do this will receive the greatest gift. The receiver may be Hindu, Muslim, Christian, etc. All outer religions are merely labels. We are all simply human beings. A human being is a soul with a body, and the soul's caste is the same as God's. We are all the Lord's children, but unfortunately are going along in forgetfulness. And when we come to the Master, what does he teach us? This possessiveness has gone. Since I got the Master's company, there is no enemy, no stranger. All are very dear to me. The change comes from within. We are human beings, but before that we are soul, the indweller of the physical body. Why is there so much dissension? When the people have the right understanding, then peace will reign on earth. This is the only panacea for all ills. It always was and always will be. Whenever man forgets the truth, the unity already exists in all, then sorrow and misery descend. The most effective cure for all distressing conditions is to join the soul back to the Lord and realize in truth the unity that exists. Nam is the panacea for all ills. Nam is no mere outer expression or show. It is a term given to the all-knowing and ever-existent Lord. Nam is the sustainer of Khand and Brahmand. It is the God into action power which is controlling the whole creation, Khand and Brahmand. And to be connected to that power means to meditate on the Nam. Those who have meditated on the Nam, their toil shall end, and their faces shall flame with glory. Not only shall they have salvation, O Nanak, but many more shall find freedom with them. The most urgent work before us is being spoiled by slothfulness, all because the love of the Guru is not developed. Christ told his followers, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We are also told, "He who obeys the Guru's wishes knows what God is." Do we obey? If only we would obey implicitly for 6 months, we would see the magical change in our condition. You can get salvation in this very life if the giver is there. Where is the pain in receiving? But unfortunately, the one who was supposed to receive the priceless gift is deep in slothfulness, sleeping or drifting away in the clutches of the senses. Those who receive something decide to put it away and ignore it. How can you expect the worldly conditions to change if you are not changing? I will give you an example from the life of Guru Nanak. A disciple named Bhai Ajita once questioned the Guru, "Maharaj, you say that some have but a fragrance of Sikhi, true devotion to the Guru, and some live under the protective roof of a true disciple. But there are some who taste the nectar from a true disciple. Please, give me the darshan of these three types of followers." Now listen carefully to this story. Guru Nanak took Ajita to a certain house at night. Houses in those days were made with inner courtyards. The owner said to his family, "There are some holy men outside, we must feed them." But they were very poor people with very meager fare, and they collected a piece of bread from each one's share, and with devotion offered it to Guru Nanak and returned to their places. Guru Nanak and Ajita passed the night in singing praises of God, and in the morning the Guru sent Ajita to tell the owner, "We are leaving now." The owner replied, "Brothers, you are going. Then go. Who asked you to come?" And as they walked on their way, Guru Nanak told Ajita, "This man has had a little fragrance of discipleship. This type of person will listen. They will serve both financially and physically, etc., but will remain where they are. You see, when someone gets a slight fragrance, they are ready and willing to do anything, and yet when they leave that fragrance, all their aspirations are forgotten." Ajita then said, "Maharaj, I see this type of man every day. Now please show me one who lives under the master's protection." They went to a village and entered the house of a large family, who entertained and fed them with great love and devotion. When night came, they said, "Maharaj, have mercy on us. How can we control our mind? We are pitifully imprisoned in this world. Show us the way to salvation." So the whole night was spent listening to the advice of Guru Nanak until the sun rose at daybreak. When the Guru showed his intention to depart, the family quickly cooked more food and packed it for their journey. As the Guru left, they pleaded for his grace and begged him to look after them and return soon to their home. So Guru Nanak explained to Ajita that this was the type of people who live under a true master's protection. How many people can you find who will spend the whole night talking about the Lord? Have you met anyone like that? Such people have hope of salvation. They may not go anywhere just now, but there is hope later. Ajita then said, but what about those who have gained the essence of truth from a master? And Guru Nanak promised to show him such an example. Some days later, they went to another house where lived a man, his wife, two sons, a daughter, who were imbued with the love of the Guru. They all received and entertained Guru Nanak with respect and devotion. To show true devotion to a master is like showing it to God himself. The wife immediately retired to the kitchen to prepare food. Her son came running to help her, but slipped on the floor, fell down and died. Of course she was distressed, but thinking of the karmic laws, attributed to give and take, and then thought of the saint that had just come to her home. Resolving that the incident should not mar the occasion, she hid her son's body in a room under the covers of a bed, meaning to tell her husband only after the departure of the saint. Meanwhile, the husband had gone into the courtyard for something, accompanied by his younger son, who suddenly slipped, fell down, and died. The father then had exactly the same thought as his wife. He hid his son's body in another room, after which he continued devotedly to help prepare the meal. When the food was placed in front of him, Guru Nanak picked up the small daughter, and placing her on his lap, asked her, "Where are your brothers?" She replied, "They are in the lap of the Guru. In life or death, we are all in his lap." Guru Nanak then picked up a morsel of food and put it in his mouth, but could not swallow it. He said, "It will not go down my throat. They have bound me by their love and complete surrender to the Guru." And turning to the father, said, "I want to meet your son, so kindly call them." The husband and wife both became alarmed, for both were concealing the facts and did not know what to do. But the Guru insisted, so the husband called the names of his two sons. At once, both boys came from the respective rooms where they had been lying. They told of their interesting sleep, during which both were held in the lap of the Guru. Who can imagine the joy in the hearts of the parents? Guru Nanak turned to Ajita and remarked, "Now, this is the type of person who enjoys the very essence from the Guru's presence." This last example was one of true living, the kind of life that we must learn to live. You can see for yourselves where you stand at present. And the only reason for that position is the fact that you do not know how to truly love the Master. Why would he who rises above the mind and senses try to keep you imprisoned here in them? It is the fervent wish of whoever has tasted the real nectar that everyone should enjoy the bliss. Meet the Master, my brothers, and take the true Nam into thy keeping. Tie this life's treasure to thee, here and hereafter. The treasure of the Masters has value in both worlds. So where does the negative power stand in this? The negative power comes in when we do not truly love, when we do not obey, or we obey only as far as the mind agrees. This is what is called the power of negativeness. We even go so far as to give advice to the master at times. Heifetz of Shiraz made the startling statement that if your guru tells you to drench your prayer mat in wine, then do so. Why? Would the one who has the intoxication of Nam wish to trap you in the worldly intoxicants? We should try to carefully understand the master's teachings and what lies behind them, not waste time in intellectual wranglings and reasoning. When one officer gives the order to fire, the soldier must fire, and the responsibility of the decision rests upon the officer. So our duty is to obey and die if necessary. As long as the condition of our mind does not develop this kind of obedience, we will not get the full benefit that the Nam has to offer us. Guru is not ignorant of the pathways to spirituality. You have got the connection, then daily increase it. And if you learn to obey without question, the color of this world will fade and you will be dyed deep in the color of Nam. Disobedience results in being consumed perpetually in the fire of senses, not only in this life, but hereafter also. When someone remarked to Lord Vishnu that he must be very busy always preparing the hells, etc., for so many erring souls, he replied, "No, I do nothing. The souls bring their own fires and are consumed in them. We go through life strictly according to the inner condition of mind. The masters show a straight road out, but the worldly people object to it, being convinced that he is doing nothing but obstructing the fulfillment of their desires. The master comes to give the true understanding of life, but people chase him away, protesting that he has come to rot their roots by flooding them with water. They do not or will not understand the deep meaning of satsang. Although in all religions it is stated that there is no salvation without Nam or word. It is already within you. You have but to be made aware of it. That person who is already all awareness can awaken you. He who has no light radiating within cannot show it to others. It is a work impossible to be accomplished by intellectuals or those learned in the sacred scriptures, etc. Get the full benefit of meditation and increase it day by day. The more you increase it, the nearer will you advance towards your goal. If you refuse, the day will come when you will be filled with regret for the lost opportunity. It is all a very simple matter of fact, and outer show of respect will achieve nothing. Learn to obey implicitly. This is the secret in a nutshell." And now just a short benediction. Meditation is our real work. This will always be with us, as it is a gift of the Master. It will grow, it will not diminish. Thank you.
Thank you, Rudy, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a head count. So today we had 73 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. Thank you, Master, for providing this satsang to us. Please hang up your phone.